Good morning. It's good to see you today. We're very glad that you're here, and I want to add my word of welcome to visitors that we have today. We thank you for being here with us. We hope that your time here will be a blessing to you, and we invite you to have a Bible if you have one. There's some available. Study along with us from the Word of God. If you have any questions about what we teach or practice, please ask those. We'd be happy to share more of God's Word together. And we hope that we can be of future service and encouragement to you. I want to invite you. In a moment, we will be studying from Luke, the 17th chapter. And we'll be picking up there in 5 and looking at some things. I wanted to add, too, welcome to my daughter-in-law. Glad that she's able to be in for a few days. And she'll be going home this afternoon. So for everybody's presence, good to see you. And we thank you very much for your presence. I will defer, of course, any other comments at this moment, and I encourage you to read some comments that on the back of the bulletin, and perhaps those will be of comfort and encouragement to each one of us as we face the loss of a dear beloved one at this time. But I want to turn our attention to the Word of God right now and talk about faith. Remember last week we studied some about the first four verses of this passage. We studied about some of the moral requirements of that God expects of us. We reminded ourselves in 1 John 5 and in verse 4 that this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Our faith overcomes the world. And yet, the challenge is to meet the requirements that God sets before us, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in our lives, to understand that those things which God calls us to and expects of us will require great faith on our part. And so Jesus talked about not being a stumbling block. And the responsibility of not doing that and not setting a stumbling block before others will require faith. We have the challenges of discipleship in so many ways like that. We're not to be a hindrance to somebody else in their belief and their obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He goes on, and we studied Sunday night, particularly verses 3 and 4, that we are to forgive those who sin against us. And even if they come seven times in a day, and seven times in a day say, "Forgive me," or I repent, we're to forgive. So he talks about rebuking the sinner, and then forgiving the sinner, and then the repetitive nature, the constant willingness of having a forgiving heart and the practice of forgiveness, as of course we encourage those who are in sin to repent and obey the word and will of God in their own lives. All of this requires faith. And so the apostles in verse 5 said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." Increase our faith. If we're going to accomplish these things, we must have a faith that is growing. A faith that is being strengthened day by day. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and in verse 3, the Apostle Paul commended the Christians in Thessalonica because he said that your faith grows exceedingly. Now, in his first letter to them in chapter 1, he had talked about and commending them for their work of faith. And now some months later, maybe a half a year later, he wrote them a second time, and again he says, "Your faith is growing." And it's not just growing, it's growing exceedingly, abundantly. Brethren, is your faith growing? If our faith is not growing, then we're weakening. And in the weakness, then, we are more susceptible to the temptation of being a stumbling block or stumbling ourselves as a result. And we're weakened in not fulfilling our responsibilities of rebuking the sinner and forgiving the sinner and following the example of Jesus in those things. And all the other challenges of discipleship that are before us every day. Is our faith getting stronger? That's what we want to talk about this morning. The apostles I believe, recognized that they were going to need faith to do these things. And so they said, Lord, increase our faith. Now, you know, that kind of reminds us we want to trust in the Lord to grow stronger, but in the way He answers, He makes it clear that there's some responsibilities put upon us if our faith is going to grow. In Philippians 2, perhaps Philippians, the second chapter, is going to be a good verse for us to look at in this respect, because really, they say, Lord, increase our faith. We depend upon You, Lord, to give us faith. But you see, in the way Jesus answers, it's clear that He expects us to be about the task of strengthening our faith as well. That is, God's not just going to open the lid, you know, and pour faith in. And say, okay, let's check. We're a quart low on faith. I'll pour a little more in. You know, that's not how it works. But Philippians 2 perhaps gives us some insight. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. God's pleasure, God's purpose is central to our life of faith. If we're going to increase our faith, and if the Lord is going to increase our faith, He's going to do it because we have committed ourselves to working out our own salvation. Now, that's not saying I'm going to decide for myself how I want to be saved. You know, and I'm going to decide for myself what the moral requirements of the gospel are for me. That's not what it means at all. It means I'm going to be about the task, the labor of faith, the work of faith, 1 Thessalonians 1:3, that to bring my faith to a full accomplishment, or my salvation to a full accomplishment, to a complete conclusion. I'm going to grow and mature in Christ. I'm going to do it with fear and trembling, you see, with a reverence for God and a dependency upon God, understanding that God works in me. God works in you to do His good pleasure. See, God's at work, but you're at work. See that? Now, some people say, oh, if you talk about work as a Christian, then you're denying God's work. No, not at all. You see, you're denying God's grace if you work. No, here's the work of faith. It's what Paul commended in the Thessalonians. The work of faith, the labor of love, 1 Thessalonians 1:3. But they were now growing in exceedingly. Lord, increase our faith. God's dependable. God will help our faith grow if we will have the faith to follow the instructions that Jesus gives us here about an increasing faith. And verses 6 through 10 gives us some insight into it. So let's look and see how Jesus answered their plea and see that He blends the power of God and the obedient faith of man. God's grace, God's power, for our faith to be strong and our obedience as servants of God. Look with me first of all in verse 6. It talks about the power of faith. The power of faith is really to trust the power of God. We sang the song, "Our faith looks up to Thee, O Lamb of Calvary." Our faith does not look inwardly to ourselves, nor does it fundamentally look outwardly to each other. Although we're to have faith and confidence in one another, our faith, first of all, looks up to God. Jesus said, now, but what's all that have to do with what He said about this mustard seed and this mulberry tree? Or sycamine tree, depending on the translation. If you have faith as a mustard seed, say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea and it would obey you. Well, I guess none of us have faith. Because if we had faith, then we could make those trees go over into the sound. Is that what Jesus is saying? You know, there's some people that have that concept and idea, and so they think they can perform miracles today, and if a miracle isn't performed on you, then you don't have enough faith. You know? And yet that's not what Jesus is saying at all. Remember this verse back here?
God works in you to will and to do for His good pleasure.
Here's I believe, the point that Jesus is illustrating here.
If I want you to uproot a tree and put it in the sea, if you'll have the faith that you can do it, then you'll do it.
If that's God's will. But it's not God's will that you uproot a tree out here and plant it over there in the middle of the sound. But it would be God's will if the apostles worked miracles. And they're going to need faith to accomplish that. It would be faith in Jesus Christ, Acts 4th chapter, that by which they would do miracles. Let's see this point. Mustard seed is small. It's a very small thing, but it accomplishes what God intends. And that's what He expects of our faith. Our faith will accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. Okay? That's the point being made here. Look, in Hebrews 11 and 34 on our chart, we read about people of faith that says who out of weakness were made strong. Out of weakness were made strong because of their faith. They were weak in themselves, but they were strong in faith. They had faith to accomplish what God wanted them to do. And that's the first point here about increasing our faith, is to know the power of faith exists for us to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish in our lives. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. How do you overcome the world? Much less root up a tree and put it out there in the sea. How do you overcome the world? That's God's will for you. Not to uproot a tree, but to overcome the world. And we need faith to do it. How are we going to have faith to do it? We're going to trust the power of God that when we do live by faith, when we do His will with reverence and trembling, that it will be so. That the victory is ours. That's what we're talking about here. No God-given task is impossible. A lack of faith, is it not at once about limiting the power of God and limiting ourselves and our trust in that power? If I don't have faith, if I have little faith, if I have weak faith, I'm not trusting in the full power of God. And so, with that little faith, how can I accomplish what God wants me to do? They say, Lord, increase our faith. How are we going to forgive a person who sins against us and even repetitively comes back and say, I repent? How am I going to not be a stumbling block? How am I going to fulfill my responsibilities as a disciple or as an apostle? Jesus says, first of all, you've got to have faith to understand and know that when you do what God wants you to do, it will be accomplished. It's not impossible. It's not beyond you. God has not called you to anything that you cannot succeed in when you trust His power, when you put your faith in His power. That's the power of faith. You see, the power is not in us. It's in God's power. The faith is in God's power to do whatever God says. Remember Peter? When he walked on the water? He said, Lord, if it's You, command me to walk on the water. And Jesus said, come. So, it's God's will that Peter get out of the boat and walk on the water. Peter got out of the boat. Peter started walking on the water. Peter expressed a faith, showed a faith in his action. But then he started looking around. He saw the waves. He saw the wind. And he became afraid and began to sink. And Jesus said, why did you doubt, oh, you have little faith? See, it was a matter of faith in the power of God. What did Peter need? He needed an increase in trusting that whatever Jesus told him to do, he could do by faith.
That's what He wants you and me to do. He hasn't commanded us to walk on water. He hasn't commanded us to uproot a tree. But He's commanded us to overcome the world. To love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, it's of the world. That's what He's commanded us. He's commanded me to be forgiving.
You see, Luke 17 in our context.
He's commanded me to rebuke the sinner. And when the sinner repents, forgive. And if it happens over and over, to continue to do that. Because that's the way God forgives me.
He's commanded me not to be a stumbling block. You see, these are the things God has commanded us, and the task is not impossible. Don't say, oh, I can't forgive that way. Yes, you can. In faith. It takes faith. It takes trust that what God has said, you can do. And it'll be by God's power, not your own, when you do it. And maybe that's part of the struggle, the temptation. Maybe that's part of the little faith, is we think it's our power. It's accomplished. It's not our power at all. It's the power of God. To trust His Word in our lives. Now you see, this happened with the apostles and miracles. You remember the man who had a son the evil spirit kept causing him to fall into the fire and all kinds of trouble, and he brought him to the apostles and they could not cast him out. Jesus did. In Matthew 17 and later, the apostles asked Jesus, or actually Jesus said, first of all, He said in verse 20, Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. They said, why could we not cast it out? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. Now, you see, again, here's the principle is underlying his illustration. The principle is, he had given them power over evil spirits. They had the ability to accomplish, but it was a matter of their trust in the power of God to secure it, to accomplish it. You have the power to grow in your faith. You have the power to do the work and will of God. You have the power to forgive. You have the power not to be a stumbling block. You have the power to overcome the world. But it really, it's God's power. It's the power of faith. Your faith in God. Your faith in the power of God. It's just a faith like mustard seed. So, we increase our faith by doing whatever God says.
How do I increase my faith? Lord, increase my faith. And Jesus, in essence, says, Job, increase your faith by doing what I say do. By trusting you can do what I say tell you to do.
That you can live the way I told you to live. That you can follow the example that I've set. That you can do everything that's set before you. Because, you see, it's God who's working in you.
How is it that Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? And we sometimes think, yeah, but Paul never faced what I faced. Now I was going to say something mean. It was going to come out mean. I didn't mean it mean. But, you know, somebody said, Paul never faced what I faced. He's never married. That's how it means, doesn't it?
You mean it mean.
Somebody said, well, those men in the Bible, they just don't know what I face today. They don't know what we live in, what we go through today.
You see, where's my faith? In myself?
It's not in God if I'm thinking that way. It's not in what God's Word says if I'm thinking that way. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. He could do everything God expected of him. He said, I know how to be abased, I know how to abound, and all things and everything. I have learned how to be content. He learned it. You see, he applied himself. He trusted in God. How did he do it? By the power of faith. I am crucified with Christ. And it is no longer Christ who lives, but it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, watch it, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. This is how Paul was able to do everything through Christ. It was by the power of faith. Because he didn't trust in himself. He didn't trust in men. He didn't trust in family. He didn't trust in friends. Oh, he had family. He had friends. But you see, his faith is in God. And in the power of faith that was anchored in God. Now, brethren, that's what we need. We need that same thing today. If we're going to increase our faith, complete reliance upon God, for instance, to withstand temptations.
The temptations are set before us. How do we withstand? With faith.
with trust, with humility before God. As the verse says, 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That requires faith. To submit myself completely in heart and life to God, and He'll exalt you in due time, casting all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. Do I believe God cares for me? Then cast it upon God. And don't let it overwhelm you. God says, I'll carry it. I have the power, and you have faith in me. Lord, increase our faith. You see, this is the call of our faith.
Put our confidence in Him to withstand temptations, to deal with the trials of life, the struggles of life, forgiving those who sin against us. You see, rely upon God. When we do that, then we accomplish what God expects of us. It's like taking the tree up and rooting it and planting it in the sea. That's a great feat of faith. And it's because of the power of God and the power He puts in the power of faith. Not being a stumbling block. See all those applications.
To deny myself, to take up my cross daily and to follow Jesus requires a commitment to the power of faith.
Lord, increase our faith. May we then increase our reliance upon God,
our understanding that whatever God expects of us, whatever He commands of us, we can do in faith. And by doing that, it is God who's working in us to accomplish His will. Next, Jesus talks about the service of faith in verses 7, 8, and 9. Let's go back to Luke 17. He says, which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will not say to him when he's come in to the field or come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? And he says, you won't do that. You'll rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me until I've eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink. Does he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. Now, Jesus reminds us that we're servants. If we're going to live by faith, then we commit ourselves to something other than ourselves. We commit ourselves to God and to righteousness. In Romans, the 6th chapter, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, his slaves you are whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience to righteousness? Again, 19, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness. See, that's before we lived, obeyed the gospel of Jesus and committed ourselves to living by faith, we served lawlessness and unrighteousness and sin and uncleanness. But now, he says, present your members, present your bodies, present yourselves as slaves of righteousness for holiness or unto sanctification. Now our service is directed to those things that are upright before God. The service of faith is going to help our faith increase. When we humble ourselves and give ourselves over to completely obeying the Master, Jesus. So it's no longer that we'll obey Him, you know, when we decide that we feel like obeying Jesus, but the servant heart, you see, the servant heart is the heart that says, it understands there's a Master and we give ourselves over to doing His will. Now, in 7 through 9, indicates an understanding. He says, you understand what it means to have a servant, and those servants do what you say. You know, James and John had some servants, hired servants, that worked for them in fishing, Mark the 1st chapter. They knew what it was to direct people to do this or do that. And maybe you know that and experience that in your work. But now, the point is, you and I are servants.
and our Master is Jesus. And so when our Master instructs us, then we are to humbly and readily and willingly obey. And when we do that, the result, the consequence of that, is a strengthening of our faith, our trust in Him. And part of what we trust is the Master has made provisions for us. You see, the Master is not going to... It's not that the Master is going to keep the servant from eating. It's that the servant has some responsibilities to meet, and then he'll eat. And he'll serve the Master. And then the servant will be cared for, and the Master cares for his servant. Now, that's a part of our faith. You see, people have a wrong idea about Christianity when they think it's just this big list of do's and don'ts over here, and I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, so check off that list, I'm serving Jesus. Not necessarily, and probably not, with that attitude. You see, the servant heart is humble before the Master to be ready to do the Master's will, the Master's bidding. Now, turn with me please to Luke 12. And I guess what we're trying to say here is, what is our heart? If our heart is right, and then the service results, the obedience results, and our faith is stronger, then we understand and know that as I forgive, I get stronger. When I refuse to be a stumbling block, I get stronger in faith. My faith is increased because I'm serving Jesus. I'm not serving myself. And Jesus will reward because He said that He will. I want you to look at Luke 12 with me here and very quickly at some of the descriptions of our obedience as servants. We need to be watchful servants. You're there with you. Luke 12 chapter and 35 beginning. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. He says, be ready, be prepared. Because you don't, you know, and his context is, you don't know when the Master's coming. But so he's talking about watchful obedience, watchful service. Verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the Master, when He comes, will find watching. Now look at this. When the Master comes in Luke 17, he says when the Master comes in, then the servant still has responsibilities to the Master. So, but now we're looking at it from a different point of view. Here are the servants, they're waiting for their Master. When the Master comes, he finds them watching. Assuredly I say to you that he'll gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. Now Jesus isn't contradicting himself. He's simply talking about two different aspects here of our service. In Luke 17, he's reminding us that faith means that we serve the Master. In Luke 12, he's reminding us of the watchfulness of that service, and that watchfulness will be rewarded. Do we just obey the gospel because men are watching us? Or because we're watching for Jesus? Because we're serving Him and we are ready at His beck and call to respond to Him. If our heart is right to serve the Lord from our heart, the Lord is going to reward us. We're going to be, if we're watchful in our obedience. Time won't allow us to go through all the points of that text, but you see the watchfulness of our obedience. Because we know Jesus is coming back. And He'll reward faithful servants. So we serve Him with faith. See, and our faith is strong as a result. Secondly, look at the careful obedience in verses 41 through 46. Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all the people? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his house to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. The servant who is careful to do what the master wants. The Apostle Paul commended Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:10, because it says, you have carefully followed. You've carefully followed my doctrine and manner of life and purpose,
and faith and long-suffering and love and perseverance. Persecutions and afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, which persecutions I endured. You see, how could Paul serve Jesus and face those persecutions and his faith be strong and be stronger? Well, because you see, he was carefully obeying what Jesus wanted of him. That's the way you can endure. By carefully following, carefully obeying what the Master wants in your life, your faith will meet the challenges, will get stronger as a result. Also, because you'll understand, the Master has said all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. Service to Jesus demands careful obedience, or we will yield to temptation. But when we carefully obey, we know our Master will receive and reward us in that obedience. Faithful servant then is careful to please his Master, not himself. We all said we make it our aim. It's our aim and goal to be well pleasing unto him. And thirdly then, in the same context of Luke 12, the service of faith is about knowledgeable obedience. So we have watchful obedience, careful obedience, and knowledgeable obedience. The servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For now here's the lesson. Jesus isn't talking about degrees of punishment in hell. Here's his answer right here. Here's what he's talking about. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. That's the principle he's talking about. You've been given a responsibility. And so that's going to be required of you. Well, what about those who sin in ignorance? So they've done things worthy of stripes, deserving of stripes, they'll be punished. But you know the Master's will, and you don't make ready. You know the Master's will, and you don't do the Master's will. You don't commit yourself to the service of faith. You're going to answer for that, Jesus said. You're going to be punished because of that. Now, you see, knowledge brings responsibility. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'll give you rest. But you got to take my yoke. That's a responsibility. That's a work now that we have, the work of faith, the trust and service. You see, the service of faith. People get hung up on this word, work. Service is work, not earning. It's humble. It's obedient. It's submissive. And it's our responsibility. And if we do it, our faith gets stronger. Our faith increases. A watchful obedience, a careful obedience, and a knowledgeable obedience. Not just that I'm doing something religiously, but I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm doing what the Word of Jesus teaches me to do. That's the service that He's going to accept. And that's why we study the Bible and learn the Bible, because that is the instruction from the Master of what He wants of you and me as servants. And if we commit ourselves to the service that faith requires, the Lord will be increasing our faith as we do that. There's the assurance of reward, isn't there? You see, as we've already spoken to, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, 2 Timothy 4. All fought the good fight, finished the course, and kept the faith. And it says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me in that day, and not to me only, but also to all who love his appearing. See, we got to love the appearing of Jesus. We got to yield ourselves to the rule of Jesus in our lives. That's the service of faith, and that's how our faith will increase as we obey him. Now, finally, he talks about the duty of faith. Luke 17:10. So likewise you. And he talked about the service of this servant, this obedience and humility that he has. So likewise you, when you've done all those things which you're commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We've done what was our duty to do. When you refuse to be a stumbling block, verses 1 and 2. When you are sinned against and you rebuke him, and if he repents, you forgive him. And repeatedly it occurs and you forgive him. When you do everything that's been commanded of you, whether it was the apostles to work the miracles that confirmed the truth of the gospel, or whether it's you to worship God with the saints, whether it's you to be a husband and a father or a mother or a wife or an obedient child, whatever God, whatever, it says, when you've done all the things commanded of you, say, we're unprofitable servants. You obeyed the God, you believed and confessed your faith and were baptized in water for the remission of your sins. You're an unprofitable servant. You haven't earned anything. You've done what was your duty to do. It's our duty to forgive. It's our duty not to be stumbling blocks. You see, in context, it's our duty to live by faith. To take God's word and yield ourselves in obedience to it. The humble dependence of faith in God is what Jesus is talking about. Look, we've got to have that kind of dependence for our salvation from sin and death. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. The Hebrew writer said that about Jesus, inasmuch as the children have become or have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. Jesus became flesh and blood. But through death, his death, he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Jesus, in overcoming sin and the cross and death through his resurrection, gives us freedom from sin and death. Salvation, deliverance. But I've got to trust that. I've got to depend upon that. And he tells me that I've got to die to my sins and be resurrected to a newness of life. Romans 6. He says that happens when I'm baptized. He says, do you not know that all we were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? That like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. To trust and depend that the Lord has provided salvation, and now I will die of my sin. I will be baptized with Christ and be raised with him through the power of God unto a new life. Requires faith. It's the duty of faith, humble dependence for guidance. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The duty of faith is to be guided by the word of God every day of our life. Humble dependence of faith protects us from overwhelming trials, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He counted the shame as a small thing, and he sat down at the right hand of God. Now look at verse 3. That's verse 2. Verse 3, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. We're going to become discouraged and weary unless we keep our eyes on Jesus. And remember, Jesus has endured. Jesus, our faith in him, gives us protection so that we will not be overwhelmed in the trials of this life. The assurance of eternal rest because of the humble dependence we have on God, in God. To enter into that rest and to rest from the labors. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their works follow after them. You see, here's the duty of faith that will follow after us, giving us the assurance. So now we're servants. We need faith. We need faith to do whatever God expects of us. When we will meet that duty to do all that God commands, faithfully, God can call faithful, put him into the service with a pure conscience to do what God commands of us with reverence and godly fear, then our faith increases. Trusting his power, diligently serving, and dutifully obeying. That is the formula
for the Lord increasing our faith. You'll be working out your salvation and He'll be working in you to accomplish His purposes. Whether it's forgiving the sinner, not being a stumbling block, or anything else, God has commanded us. So how's our faith this morning? Is our faith in need of growth? Do we pray, Lord, increase our faith? If so, then let us at the same time, in appealing to the Lord for a growth of faith, commit ourselves to trusting the power of God to accomplish through us what He wants us to do and to be. To serve Him humbly, knowing He'll reward, that we don't earn that reward, but you see, we trust and depend upon Him. It's our duty to do whatever our Master says. That's what faith is. If you're not a Christian, you need that faith to be saved. Today, you need to act in that kind of faith, trusting that Jesus is the Son of God. Repent of your sins, confess that He's the Son of God, and be baptized in Christ. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned." Do you believe it? Do you trust the power of God to take you out of the death of sin and plant you anew, a new creature, united with Christ, to walk in newness of life? If you trust that to be so, He expects you to repent and be baptized. And that will be accomplished in your life. We urge you to do that today. Or to repent of sin as a child of God, to make those things right through repentance and prayer to God. We want to help you accomplish that beauty of faith as you show your dependence upon Him. While together we stand and sing, would you come?
Who am I, daughter?